Kof Gimel Shvat, Thursday the 16th of February, Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Chizik, Aspects of Parshas Mishpatim.
Good morning, everyone. Take the opportunity to wish one of our regular Start of the Day members, who's currently not well, he's at home, I'm wishing him a full shalema. Should be back here soon, hopefully after the operation. I can see from the other speakers who spoke this week that I've been given the job to speak about Mishpatim. I see that everyone else has spoken about everything else, but not about the Parsha. There's so much to discuss in Parsha Mishpatim that I've been left with a big job. Start with the first pasuk. Ve'ela Mishpatim Ashikosim Lefneihem. How many mitzvahs are there in the Parsha? So the Chinuch says 53 mitzvahs. Nun gimel mitzvahs, begematria gan, as gan eden, 53 mitzvahs, some lavim, some asayim. But they're not all mishpatim, they're not all laws of ben odom lechaveroi, monetary laws and laws which apply ben odom lechaveroi. So the Chasam Sofer says, how many are ben odom lechaveroi? 42. He made the cheshbon, 42 out of the 53 are ben odom lechaveroi. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim, ve'ele is gematria 42. Out of the 53 coming mitzvahs, 42 of them are mishpatim. The Baal HaTurim says, Hamishpatim, famous Baal HaTurim, it's Rosh HaTevas, abbreviation for Hadayin Mitzuva Sheyase Peshara Terem Yase Mishpat. Baal HaTurim says, the Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, one of the first halachas of Chosha Mishpat, that Hadayin, before you start anything, you should try and make a pshara, try and make the Baalei Dinim happy. So the Alter Satmarov once said with this, a beautiful, beautiful gedank. He said, he always had a bomba kasha, fantastic kasha. Straight after Matan Torah, this week's parsha, what's the first thing Moshe starts with? Mishpatim, the monetary laws, choshen mishpat. What does the Shulchan Aruch start with? Erechaim. Evan Yochaim, Yerudea, Ebenezer, Chosh Mishpat is the last. Why is Chosh Mishpat the last thing? If Moshe Rabbeinu started with it, Hashem started straight after Matan Torah, Ve'ela Mishpatim, so Chosh Mishpat should be the first Chelek of Shulchan Aruch. So the Alter Satmar Rebbe, Gevaldik Yadach, he said, if you look at Chosh Mishpat, one of the first halachas, is this Baal HaTurim. It says that Dayan is commanded to do Peshoros. He said, imagine a Yid opens up Shulchan Aruch, one of the first things he sees is compromises. We can do compromises, Mamach Peshoros. We can make Mechaya, Gevaldik, that's Yiddishkeit, Peshoros. So it's not Rebbe, no. That's the end. First you have to know the Medaktikim and the Chumras and the Halochas of Erechaim and Yeredin and everything. Peshoros can be Machin at the end. Peshoros, Chosh Mishpat, in your own private things, you make Peshoros. But Chas Peshoros, to put that at the beginning, for a person to make a mistake and think, this is setting the benchmark for what's to come in the whole Shulchan Aruch, that Chas Peshoros can't be something which a mistake a person can make. The Baal Tanura is famous at the beginning of Masechtas Ovos, Pirkei Ovos. He asks, why do we start there with Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai? Beginning of Pirkei Ovos. That would be more matim at the beginning of Brochas, beginning of the whole Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Rebbe should come along and tell you where it comes from. Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, Sonu Shua. What's it doing over there in Ovos? What's it doing over there? Middle of Ovos, suddenly Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. So Baal Tanura says, because Rebbe's trying to make a point. Of course everything comes from Sinai, you know that. But a person shouldn't think that what's written in Ovos, Pirkei Ovos, is nice middas, it's middas tovas, it's things which each Tana made up himself. This is my anhoga, my nice, you know, nicety that I take on for myself. In order that a person shouldn't think that, Rebbe had to write Moshe Kibbel Torah Sinai before the Ovos to know that even this is also part of Torah. All the nice hanhogas and middas and all the different things that go on in Ovos and the stories, it's all part of Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. That's what Rebbe tried to teach us. And you could say over here as well, that Ela HaMishpatim in the first pasuk, Rashi says, Vov Moistif Al Inineration, and the Vov teaches us that it goes back on Ma, just like the last parsha was from Sinai, so do this parsha from Har Sinai. Possibly the Chiddush is that even these monetary laws, one could have thought that monetary laws, that's just regular things that applies to anyone. It's not just necessarily a thing Nisina, it's not what Hashem gave us mitzvahs from Har Sinai. That's just, you know, the way to run society. Ve'ela ha-mishpotim ha-shetosim lefnehem, this comes from Har Sinai, just like anything else. Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai applies to this as well. At the end of the pasuk, the Chazal Darshan lifnehem, they say lifnehem v'lo lifnei ovei kechovim. It's a mitzvah to go to a Jewish court. And you shouldn't go to a non-Jewish court. Our Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman from Gateshead used to always say over a very interesting story. He used to say that when he was in yeshiva, there was a bocher who had a car accident with a Jew, not from the Kehillah itself, but somewhere up there in the northeast. And there was a car, he had a car, an unfortunate car accident. And they went together to the altar gates of Rav Naftali Shalkovitzky, and in Torah, and Rav Tali paskened that the bocher has to pay this yid, has to pay him £400. Which at the time, Reb Chaim said, was a large sum of money. It seemed to be a good psak. This yid wasn't happy. And he took the boy to court, to a Goshe court, and he sued him. Goshe court, he wanted to get more money. He wasn't happy with what Rav Tali said. Reb Chaim said he remembered in yeshiva, there was a big uproar in yeshiva. Bochum were very unhappy with what this yid was doing. On the day of the court case, on the given date and the day of the court case, a bunch of Bochum went into the galleries of the court in Gateshead, and they hid themselves in the galleries. They hid below the pulpit, below where, the parapet where to see over. They hid themselves, and as the usher brought brought them in and started the court case, they screamed out, "Ve'ele ha'mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem v'lo lifneihem ovei kechovim." And the fellow there, the yid took the head, he said he thought it was a bus girl, he fell on, he didn't know where it was coming from, he thought there was some sort of heavenly voice coming out over here, telling him, and the judge is banging there, all down the court, and the security guards came running up, and they pulled the bochrim out, but the point was made, and the case was dropped. The point was made, v'eila mishpatam ashtosim lifneihem, lifneihem, v'lo lifneihem ovei kechovim.
What was the judgment?
But moving on in the parsha, I want to talk about Inyan in Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yotes. So it starts off and it says, "V'chirivun anoshim." V'hikka ish Yisraelu. We're talking about people who are arguing, and one hits the other one. Be'evan over Egrov. It says that the various payments, and this parsha discusses v'rapo yirape. The main payment is to pay ripui, to pay the medical refuah expenses. The question is, why does it say the chiyurivun anoshim? People are arguing. Dramatic. Why does Torah have to say that arguing? I mean, it can happen even, by mistake, without an argument. Why are we discussing over here that the chiyur ripui, the Torah shtels avek, the chiyurivun anoshim? So I want to be makdim. There's an interesting Mishnah in Pesachim. The Mishnah says in Pesachim, the Chizkiyo HaMelech did a few things which Chazal didn't agree, and a few which Chazal did agree. Famously, one which Chazal did agree was Chizkiyo Gonaz Sefer Refuas. He hid the book, medical book. Rashi says it came from Shlomo HaMelech. And it was a book which had all the solutions, all the medical solutions. Chizkiyo hid it. Says Rashi, why did he hide it? Rashi says he hid it because people didn't have emunah anymore. They didn't believe in Hashem. They saw that they had the book. Straight away they became ill. They went to the book and that was it. The Rambam comes along. Rambam writes very sharp over there, the Pirush HaMishnayos. He says a different shot to Rashi. He says the Chizkiyo hid the book because people were abusing the book. He said people were using the wrong refuahs. There were some things in the book which perhaps weren't correct to use. He said also the book had secrets how to make someone ill as well. That was also part of the book. How do you make someone ill and how do you heal them? People were misusing the book. That's why Chizkiyo hid it. But he says Rashi's shot. He says he doesn't agree with Rashi's shot. He writes very sharp. He says according to Rashi, that someone who's a choila, and if he gets something to heal him, he's not going to have a munah in Hashem. So says the Rambam in a very sharp way. So what are you going to say? Someone who's suffering from choilei harov, he's suffering from hunger illness. If he goes to eat, he won't thank Hashem. How can he eat bread? He won't thank Hashem. He'll believe no munah in Hashem because he'll think that. Says the Rambam, of course he's going to know that bread has healed him. The bread has taken away his hunger, and Hashem has given him the bread. So too, says the Rambam, there's no reason to hide a medical book because someone's going to have lack in the munah. People will just enhance their munah. They'll believe it's a shliach from the Eved Hashem. That's what the Rambam writes. The Chasam Sofer says, in the Rashi's defense, bit of a difference between choli harov and other cholim. The Gemara says that in Odom Noikif Etzboi, a person doesn't even hurt his finger unless it's Nigzam in the Shemaim, unless it was all planned by heaven. So the Chasam Sofer, that normal illnesses that happen, that can't be Dei Shemaim. So if a person starts going into medical solutions and without davening first, without making davening the ikkah, that's already sort of meddling with the Eibishter's affairs. So the Chasam Sofer about hunger, that's not necessarily bidei shamayim. Someone doesn't eat, he goes hungry. That's something which is just the way of the laws of teva, which is not necessarily a decree in a gezeira min hashamayim. Now the truth is, there's a famous chazal over here that says v'rapo yirape, double loshen, v'kal shenitno rishus l'roifu l'rapois. From here we learn that a doctor has got permission to heal. Tosafot Baba Kama comes along and says, this only applies, we only need permission for the doctors to heal by a choli which comes b'dei shamayim. By an illness which comes b'dei shamayim, we need permission for a doctor to heal. But something which comes b'dei olam, let's say a person hurts another person, that we don't need permission for a doctor to heal, because that's poshut, because that's not meddling with the Eibishter's affairs, so to speak. That the Chasam Sofer says that the reason why Shlomo HaMelech, in the defense of Rashi, why he hid the book was because if a doctor is healing or someone is trying to heal himself with samamonim, which is an illness, not the illness of hunger, but regular illnesses which can be deisha mayim, that's considered meddling with the Eibishter's affairs. Says Tosfos, for that we need to have a posuk v'rapei rapei, that a doctor is allowed to do that. He's allowed to do that. However, we can assume that if someone is healing someone else regarding an illness which has come about b'dei odom, someone's punched another person, someone's hurt another person, that of course this, the Chasam Sofer doesn't apply, and that's poshut that you're allowed to heal. There's no need, and Tosafot Baba Kama says there's no need to have a chiddush of the posuk of rapei rapei, because that's poshut. But this is interesting. This depends on a very big shaila, very very big shaila, which is brought down elsewhere. Is it possible that a human being can hurt another human being with his koyach habechira? Or can I not hurt another person unless the Eibishter decrees it? I mean, we all know that a person's got a bechira, got free choice. Does my free choice extend to the fact that I can hurt someone else, even perhaps kill someone else, even if it's not nigzar min hashamayim? Is that possible or not? Big macholik is a big shaila. Where does it come from? The famous Eir HaChaim. Eir HaChaim HaKodesh, the famous question he asks Reuven. What was Reuven's big hatsola? He saved Yosef. V'yatzilehu miyodom, and he threw him, and he says, let's throw him in a pit. Let's not kill him, let's throw him in the pit. So the question is, how did it help to throw him in the pit? The pit was full of nechoshim v'akravim. The Gemara says in Shabbos that if there's Aden come along and say about a person that he's in a pit with nechoshim v'akravim, with snakes and scorpions, b'yodu hashemes, you know for a fact his wife can go get married, she's not laguna, you know for a fact he's dead. So there's a chazok, the person's going to die. So what was Reuven's big hatsola? He said, don't kill him, let's throw him in the pit. That's Eir HaChaim HaKodesh's question. So the Racham HaKodesh answers, and he says, that Reuven was saying to the brothers, if we kill him, it's not proof that Hashem wants it to happen. Because it's biyad a baal ha-bechira to do something to another person, even if the Eibishter hasn't been nigger, hasn't been gozer b'chlal. Whereas if you put him in the pit, then that's already bidei shamayim, and if the snakes and scorpions kill him, fine, the Eibishter wants him to die. If not, he won't die, the Eibishter will make sure he doesn't die. So it says, Racham, you see from here that a person can hurt another person, it's beyond the Baal HaBechira, without a Gezeira min HaShamayim. As many people argue on this, famously the Vilna Gaon was argued, the Chovos HaVavos in places says Mefurish that a person cannot be that person can hurt another person without the Eibishter wanting. But it's a very big shaila. Can Reuven hurt Shimon, do something to Shimon, without the Eibishter necessarily decreeing it? Is that part of Reuven's Bechira, or is that something which is B'dei Shamayim? Just agav, how do they answer the Cholkim, how do they answer the question about Reuven? So famously the Ramban says that the Shvatim didn't see, they couldn't see inside the pit, they couldn't see the Nechoshim HaKravim, they didn't know it was there. The Teretino says a beautiful thing. He says the Gemara in Shavuos brings down two members from Reb Tanchum, one after the other, which have no connection. Seemingly no connection. The first memory is, one of Shabbos Chof Aleph, V'haboy reik ein boy mayim, Omar Rav Tanchum, mayim ein boy, nechoshim akrabim ein boy. Next Gemara is, Ner Chanukah, you have to put it above 20 yamas. Ask Tanfimah, what's the connection? Ner Chanukah, 20 yamas. So the Tanfimah says, because the pit was 20 yamas deep. And according to Ramban, the Shavotim couldn't see the nechoshim akrabim. That's the connection. Mayim ein boy, nechoshim akrabim yesh boy, but the Shavotim didn't see it, otherwise they wouldn't have put it in. Says Rav Tanchum, the next memra that Ner Chanukah you can't put it above 20 because you can't see, a person can't see not above 20 and not below 20, the normal eyesight. That's the famous Torah to me. So let's come back to the first question. First question was V'chi rivun anoshim, people are fighting. So according to this, if you take on like the first opinion, that b'day odom, it's possible to hurt someone else. When it's not nigzar b'dei shamayim, it makes a lot of sense that dafka over here, by the parsha of ripui, by the parsha of refuah, the Torah is makdim, says v'chi yirivun anoshim, because perhaps you're only obligated for refuah when it's yirivun, when two people are fighting, with each other. Then Reuven does something to Shimon sheloi b'dei shamayim, not because Asia didn't decree it. Therefore Reuven is chayiv to pay the refuah expenses of Shimon because Reuven has done something to Shimon which the Abish didn't want. And that's not called meddling in the Abish's affairs. However, if it's not b'chir rivun, if it wasn't through a fight, if it was b'shoigug, the truth is the Gemara Bava Kama anyway paskins that b'shoigug you're not chayv any of the chamisha devorim. You're not chayv any of the five things b'shoigug. Not nezek, not tzar, not anything. But by ripui, there could be a special svara that b'shoigug you're not chayv to pay someone for ripui because b'shoigug you tell the person, I'm sorry. If you believe in God, if you believe in the Abishah, then just like Chizkiyo hid the sefer refuahs because people shouldn't be meddling in the Abishah's affairs, first go daven, then we'll worry about refuah. First go daven. There perhaps could be a svara, a special svara by ripui, that you're not chayav to pay by ripui b'shoigug. According to this, I once answered the question that someone asked me on the famous Maharal Diskin. Shorei Diskin, he twins two psukim in Vayechi and Matos. I always say over his vot twice a year because it's such a powerful vot. In Parshas Matos it says, V'Hashem Yislach Lo. V'Hashem Yislach Lo, a woman is over a neder. So Rashi asks, what do you mean Hashem Yislach Lo? Rashi says, we're talking about a woman who made a neder. Her husband heard about the neder, nullified it. She didn't know that her husband nullified it, and she went and she broke the neder. She went without knowing. So she did something which she thought was an Avera, but I might say it wasn't an Avera because her husband nullified it already. It says Rashi to Gemara Dorim that she needs a Kapora min HaShemayim. Shem Yisrach Lo needs a Kapora. So Maharal Diskin over there says, but she wasn't really doing anything, nothing happened. She made the Neder, she broke the Neder, but she didn't break it because her husband nullified it first. So why does she need Kapora min HaShemayim? It's only Machshova, Hashem doesn't punish for Machshova. So Maharal Diskin explains, he sets out, there's three levels of Averas. There's Machshava, Hashem doesn't punish for Machshava. Machshava, besides Avodah Zorah, but normally Machshava, there's no punishment. Then you've got Maisa, you've got action Hashem punishes, that's B'dei Odom, based in punishment for that. But then you've got a middle type of stage. You've got Machshava, which leads to a Maisa, which you think the Maisa is bad, but it's not bad, because it happens to be. For example, he says, you go into a shop, a non-kosher shop, and you buy what you think is non-kosher meat. And you eat it. And granted, what happens is, it turns out that punt that day, someone came in and it's kosher meat. But you thought it was non-kosher meat, and you prepared to go the mile and eat non-kosher meat. Says Maharal Diskin, that's worse than just machshava. Because you've taken your rebellion against Hashem to another level, you've done a maisa, although the maisa wasn't bad, but it's you thought it was bad. That's a machshava with a maisa, which you thought was bad, wasn't bad. Says Maharal Diskin, that type of thing needs a kapora b'dei shamayim. Not b'dei based in, because the maisa you haven't done avera, but Hashem is very cross, and Hashem will punish for that type of thing. Says the Maharal Diskin, with that, he answers the Pasuk of Vayechi. Always bothered him all his life, the Pasuk of Vayechi. Brothers came to Yosef, end of the Parsha, Yaakov was Nifta, and he said, Nia Avodim, we'll be your slaves. They were worried, Yosef was going to kill them, Yosef was going to take retribution, let's be your slaves. He said, Yosef, Hasachas Elekim Oli? Am I instead of Hashem? Atem Chashavtem Letoiva, Atem Chashavtem Lero. You thought to do bad to me. Then Kim Chashav Latoiva, and Hashem made it turn out for the best in the end. So he said, don't worry, it's all Beseda. You tried to do bad, you sold me with bad intentions, but at the end of the day it was okay. The question is, ask Maharal Diskin, what is Yosef saying, Hasachas Elekim Oni, am I instead of Hashem? What's that got to do with that? explains the Maharal Diskin. Yosef was telling them, you've done something which is like that woman in Parshas Matos. You did something which you thought was bad. You sold me as slaves. But the Maaseh turned out good in the end. The Eibshe made it good. It all turned out for the best in the end. And therefore, it was a Machshav Aroh with a Maaseh which you thought was bad, but a Maaseh in the end it wasn't bad. That only the Eibshe could punish. That's Kedei Shemayim. Hashem Yislach Lo. Hasach Hazel Ekim. Only a Maaseh of Hashem. Only the Eibshe could punish. I can't punish it. That's how he explains that pasuk. So someone once asked me, so according to that, why do Beis Din punish for anything? If Reuven kills Shimon, Mishtoma, the Eibshe will make sure that'll be okay. Mishtoma was the right thing to do. So why did Beis Din ever punish Reuven for doing anything to Shimon? Reuven kills Shimon, why should he punish him? The Eibshe will make sure that it was Mishtoma, it was Bashet, it was meant to be. So it'll be a Bashova to Bashova Ro with a Maisa which you thought was bad, but in the end it'll be good. But according to what we said before, according to the shittas that hold, that Bale Bechira, I've got a koyach to hurt someone else, do something to someone else, without Hashem decreeing it, according to that it makes sense, that Dafka over here by Yosef, pooped over here, Hashem made sure it worked out okay, Yosef became the Melech Mitzrayim. But in a normal situation, Reuven kills Shimon, that's not Nigzah B'dei Shemayim, that's Taka something which Reuven has done, his own achrayis, and Reuven will get punished B'dei Odom, B'dei Basin, because it's a Machshava Ro, and a Maaseh Ro, it's not something, the Eibshe doesn't always take care of people's Bechira, get involved with people's Bechira, to make sure that, to tie up all the edges. There's a very scary Erechaim HaKodesh.
What's the answer?
The answer to you, Chirivon, is it's dafka when they're fighting together, dafka when the two people are fighting, that's when I'm chayiv ripui, because it's I've caused it, Reuven has caused it to Shimon. However, if it's not a fight, it's b'shoy, it's by mistake, Reuven by mistake hurt Shimon, then I'm not machayiv ripui b'chalal, because the person should go and daven. Erechaim HaKodesh, a very scary Erechaim HaKodesh. He says, Kiseitzei Esh, in Perkhov Beis Posik Hei, Kiseitzei Esh U'motzo Kotzim. Al-Derech Remez, he says, that Eish is referring to Din Hashem. It's referring to the time of judgment in Hashem. When Motzo Koitzim, it finds thorns, he says, the fuel to the fire is Roshoyim. Roshoyim in the world are called Koitzim, and when there's Eish in the world, when there's Psak Din in the world, it will find Roshoyim. V'nechal Godish, he says, sometimes the Roshoyim add fuel to the fire, and the fire goes further, and it takes Godish. Godish is the young Tvua. He says, it takes the Tinoikas. Sometimes when there's a din, with a judgment, we find Nebuch, Bavoin, Kal Yisrael, Bonim, Mesim, Tinoikas, Shabbat, Mesim, children are dying because of the Averus and the Eish of Kal Yisrael. Oy Hakoma. Hakoma is the standing up Tvua. Who says, Erechaim HaKodesh, who's it going on? The Tzadikin. It says the Chazal many times, but Oven Hador, Tzadikim Mitfosin, Tzadikim get caught with Oven Hador, or Yasode, or it can spread to the whole field, spread to everyone. This is the danger that can happen when you have an Eish. By the end of the day, Shalem Yishalem, Hamavis Abeira, the person who started the Eish is going to pay for it. But he says an unbelievable thing at the end. You know, a father, when a child reaches a mitzvah, says, Baruch Shepatarani, Ma'onshe Shilzeh. So famously, everyone understands it, Kepshutoi. The reason why I say Baruch Shepatroni is because the father hasn't got a Chiyav Chinuch anymore. Till the child is 13, the father has a Chiyav Chinuch. Once the child turns 13, no Chiyav Chinuch, so now the father says, I'm potter from Chinuch. It says, Erechaim HaKodesh over here, on this week's Parsha, a different pshat. He says that when a child turns 13, the father's breathing a sigh of relief. Baruch Hashem, he hasn't died, the child hasn't died in my Averus. Because we've seen the pasuk that v'nechal godish Hashem, one of the first things that can get attacked and get punished is the children. So when a child reaches 13, Baruch Sheptarani me'onsho shalzeh is Baruch Hashem that the child didn't die but oven of the father. Baruch Hashem, the child didn't get an oynish being a kotzim, he didn't get onsho shalzeh, not my oynish. He didn't get my oynish and it wasn't put on him. We'll move on and finish off. We talk about the parasha of Shomer. So Kiyitin Isha Re'eyu Kesef Akelim Lishmar V'gunav V'beisa Ish. So it's famous that Eli Lopin once gave a shiur to Balabatim and he said to him a gevalde gezach. He said, you know, he said, B'nai Torah, they have an easy way to connect with Hashem. They're learning Torah all day, that's the way to connect to Hashem. But how does a balabos to connect with the Eibishter? He says, this is an apostle. V'nikrav balabayis Elo Elokim. And a balabos wants to come close to the Eibishter. How do you become close to Eibishter if you're balabos? What do you do? If he's not Shaleach Yad in Belechet Re'ehu, he's an Elecha person, and he's careful with his business dealings, that's the way the Nikra Balabayis Elo Elikim, Rabbi Eliezer said, it's in the Pasuk, the way for Balabas to come close to the Yevishla is in Meshalach Yodoy, Nechet Re'ehu, Midvar Sheker, Tirchok, keep away from something, far away from Sheker, from anything, and that way the Nikra, you come close to the Yevishla. But there's an interesting Balaturim over here who says, Im lo yimotze haganov, the nikrav, is Rosh Tevis Eliyo. Im lo yimotze haganov, the nikrav, Rosh Tevis Eliyo. This is a Balaturim, because the Gemara says in certain cases, that by a Shomrim, if a Shomer has, two people came to him, and they gave him something, and they each argue what they gave. One says, I gave you 100, other says, I gave you 200, they're arguing. Sometimes it's unclear, and the Gemara says, Yemun hachachiyo ve'eliyo, Eliyo will come along and be Mavara. So over here, the Pasuk's been Maramas, Eliyo has got a picture, he's got a part to play in the Parsha of Shomrim. But the famous question they ask on this is, Torah le b'shamayim hi. Famous question. Torah le b'shamayim. Torah is not. You can't paskin it al pi shamayim. Like the famous story of Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon. He brought a tree to prove it. He brought the walls, everything. But Torah le b'shamayim hi. So how can Eliyahu Hanavi? How can he prove it? So one of the answers given is there's a difference between if he's paskining a halacha or he's just being mevara a metzias. Paskining a halacha, that takatari l'shmaim, we don't rely on Eliyahu Hanavi for. But just to be mevara metzias, just to clarify a fact, whose money is it? Is it my money or his money? That's just clearing up a fact. That's possible that even Eliyahu Hanavi could do that as well. Which the point of the Jerov says, very interesting, that's why in Shas, we find sometimes, teku, tishbi yitarat kushis for boris, other times we refer to him, yimuna chachiyov Eliyahu. So the point of the Jerov, what's the difference? He says, Eliyahu tishbi, refers to Eliyahu, but he comes beguf hagashmi. Eliyahu can come as a human being. Eliyahu was Pinchas, and he has two ways, two forms to come to this world. He can come as a human being, Eliyahu Tishbi, or he can come as Eliyahu Hanavi, as a malach. He says, Tishbi Yitarek Kushis V'Boyers, because a Kashyan V'Boyer, which is a halacha thing, only Tishbi can be Mitarek, only the human form of Eliyahu Hanavi can be Mitarek. But Yehimunah Chachiyo V'Eliyahu, anyway in Shas where it says that something that you need to Mevara Metzir, so to clarify a fact, that even Yehimunah Chachiyo V'Eliyahu, Eliyahu Hanavi can come and say that as well. We'll finish off with one final thing in the Parsha. It says over here, Ki Hu Zeh. The Shomer will say, Ki Hu Zeh. Say Chazal, what is Ki Hu Zeh? Moed B'Mitzas. The case where the Shomer agrees to part of the deposit, doesn't agree to the other part. The question is, where do you Chazal see in Ki Hu Zeh, Moed B'Mitzas? Where do you see Moed B'Mitzas in Ki Hu Zeh? So the Vilna Gaon is an unbelievable thing. The Gaon was famous for having the word of the Torah to such a level of clarity to differentiate. He says, what's the difference between Hu and between Zeh? He says, who is something which you can't see clearly, because who is like third person, who, or he, far away. There is something clear. You've got who and you've got there. So who means something hidden, that's he, and there means this, that's something which is clear. How can you have hidden and clear in the same thing? Says the Vilna Gaon, it's Moedim Mitzvahs. Because what's happening is the fellows come along and say, you owe me £100, right? I deposit £100, and the Shomer is saying, no, ki hu zeh, ki hu, i.e. I'm koifer on £50, zeh, I'm moed on the other £50. So the hu and the zeh are talking about the chelik ha-kfira and the chelik ha-oido. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. Many proofs this, by the way. Many proofs that the word zeh and the word hu are different. For example, ha-chodesh ha-zeh lochem, Rashi says, ko zeh re'i v'kadesh, Hashem shod Moshe v'levono. Sfasem says, and another pshat, ha-chodesh ha-zeh lochem, the month of Nisan, ha-chodesh, it's a month full of zeh. It's a month full of clarity of Hashem. You can point to Hashem clearly in Nisan, which is coming up soon. You can point to Hashem clearly. Zeh keli van veyu, ro'aso shivcha la-yom, shivcha su on the yam, which Yecheskel ben Buzi didn't even see. And everyone pointed, Zeh keli van veyu, it's a chodesh ha-zeh lochem. It says, Sfasem es, kol amar ben esape b'tzias Mitzrayim, harei, Zeh, Meshuvach. The more you talk about Tzias Mitzrayim, the more Zeh, the more it becomes clear, the Yevishla becomes clear. Unfortunately, in Golos over here, now we don't see Hashem so clearly, so, Hine, we say, Hine, Zeh, Oymed, Achakoseinu. Zeh, the Yevishla is standing behind the wall. Meitz from the Charakim, looking through the windows, and the Charakim as well. But the Osid Lovoy, we say, Omar Bayem Ahu, Hine, Elekeinu, Zeh, people will point to the Yevishla. Hine, Elekeinu, Zeh. Sidra Meir Shapira, a Gevaldi Yazach. He said, according to this, he can answer a kasha which was bothering Klal Yisrael for years and years, a kasha Megillas Esther. You can say this kasha over and it's terrible, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Famous kasha, Achashverosh. sitting in the party with Esther. He says to Esther, who's this person who's trying to, you know, destroy Klal Yisrael? I mean, look around town. There was Pashkevillan everywhere. There was posters everywhere. Achashverosh's signature, Homon. What's Achashverosh? Who's he killing over here? Who is it? Who's trying to do this? And the Balach came along and moved Esther's hand from him to Homon. Gansa Maisa. Well, he didn't know. Who's he fopping over here? Says the Meir Shapiro Gevald Gazach. Of course Achashverosh knew what was going on. But there were two people who were party to the whole thing. Homon was the clear one. He was the one, the face of the whole Gezerah. But behind the whole Gezerah, Chazal said Achashverosh was even worse. He said, Homon, take it for free. He was even worse. But he was hidden behind it. People didn't see Achashverosh. He was the hidden one. Achashverosh wanted to know, does Esther know exactly what's going on? Does she know who's the one in front and who's the one behind and who's... I said Achashverosh to Esther, me who zeh ve eizeh who? Who's the zeh and who's the who? Do you know who the who is and who the zeh is? Do you know who the clear one and who the unclear one? Esther knew exactly what was going on. She wanted to point to him and say, you're the who and he's the zeh and you're even worse than him. And the Malach came to Pushta and she said, Ish sav oyev, homon horo hazeh. She didn't even say who the who was because the Malach didn't let her say who the who was because that was to protect her. But you see the Gevaldik of the Gaon, you've got the who and you've got the zeh and it fits in the Pesukim and it fits in the Gittas Esther. She will have a wonderful week and a wonderful Shabbos. Okay.